Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
We are in the third week of our new message series for a new year. We've been reflecting that while so much of life is currently out of our control and just plain out of control, we still have agency, we still have autonomy, we still have so much we can control. While it's very tempting to focus our energy and attention on what's been taken away from us, we still have the ability to follow our own agenda under our own authority. And I think the people, the organizations, the businesses, the churches that grasp this truth and hold on to it are the ones who will survive and thrive through this COVID crisis. On the other hand, failing to hold on to this truth is just going to bring higher levels of doubt, depression, fear, anxiety, failure. As we already noted, this has been called, or sometimes called, the circle of concern versus our sphere of influence. Our circle of concern is huge. It's as big as we want it to be. And as a result of a 24-hour news cycle and social media, that can be enormous. We can find ourselves concerned about all kinds of things that we have no ability to do anything about. And that, in turn, might leave us feeling anxious and helpless. Meanwhile, if I focus more and more on my sphere of influence, I'm going to be emotionally stronger and healthier and more successful. You know, nobody's going to give you your life back. You have to take it back. You have to be proactive. You can't wait for all of this to go away. You have to step confidently into the new year. And that's what this series is all about. The question is, where do I start? And the short answer is priorities. Be proactive with your priorities. And believe it or not, that can be a solidly spiritual exercise because our faith tells us that God is in control and wants to work with us in helping us set priorities. You're not all alone and on your own to figure this out for yourself. Faith sees that you can set priorities with God and ideally in a community of believers to support and encourage you. Last week, we talked about our identity. The way we view ourselves impacts our priorities. And we talked about two benefits of what we called anchoring our identity in Christ. In Christ, we have the identity of beloved sons and daughters of God, which means that we don't have to pursue power or popularity or anything else to prove our worth. We don't have anything to prove. We have worth because we belong to God. The second benefit of anchoring our identity in Christ is that we can pursue our priorities with greater confidence. By the way, if you want to dive deeper into these initial topics, or you could use some help, we have a workshop just for you beginning this week, Wednesday, January 20th. It'll be given by my associate Tom and our friend who is a professional life coach, David Makala. There's no fee for the workshop, but you do need to make a reservation, and reservations are filling up fast, so do it when you can. Sign up on our website. Today we're going to continue to look at how we set our priorities in our identity as Christ followers, and specifically how God wants to help us. You know, you absolutely can set your priorities apart from God and His wisdom and counsel. You can do that. But why would you want to? God is smarter than you, God is wiser than you, and God knows more stuff than you do. Maybe one of the reasons that we don't turn to God is that we can often be very independent-minded. But when it comes to priorities, that's not what God wants for you. God has created you for friendship and partnership. And He invites you to hear His voice, not just to obey His orders out of duty and on demand, but follow His counsel out of friendship. There is, in fact, incredible freedom in living in relationship with God and setting your priorities accordingly, not just hoping that God's grace and favor shows up when you need it. One time, a pastor friend of mine was challenging me about my approach to preaching, which is basically that I script everything word for word, and I really make no apologies about that. He, on the other hand, has an approach that, well, I would call it breezy. His explanation: I like to leave lots of room for the Holy Spirit to show up when I need help. And I replied, well, the same Holy Spirit that you're hoping shows up when you need help preaching in your pulpit can show up while I'm preparing to preach in my office. And that leaves the Holy Spirit a lot more room to show up. If we plan our priorities with God, first of all, then we can pursue them with greater confidence. The question becomes, how? And I think it all begins with a single simple step, and that's what we're going to look at today. And to look at it, we're going to look at a story in the Old Testament. It's a story taken from the life of the prophet Samuel. Samuel was one of the most important prophets in the history of Israel. He appointed and anointed the first two kings of Israel. He's so important in the history of Israel that there are two books of the Bible named after him, 1 Samuel and the creatively titled second volume, 2 Samuel. Samuel was a legendary figure in the history of Israel, but the story that we're looking at today comes early in his life, before he was so important and prominent. He's still a young man, a teenager. As a young man, he served in the Levitical priesthood. That was the Jewish priesthood, the Jewish priests who ministered in the tabernacle and later the temple, responsible for offering the sacrifices required by the Mosaic law. They were considered the mediators between God and man, the connection, as it were. So basically, Samuel grew up working for the church, but even though he grew up working for the church and was on track to become a priest, he was still challenged when it came to his faith and his understanding of God. Take a look. Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Samuel was asleep late at night, the early morning fast approaching, and God called out to him. Samuel did not know it was God because Samuel did not know the voice of God. He thought it was Eli calling. Eli was the chief priest and Samuel's mentor. Neither Eli nor Samuel understand what's going on. A second time, God calls out to Samuel, and once again, Samuel doesn't get it. He doesn't recognize the voice of God, and he fails to understand what's happening. Why? Why? Because Samuel was not familiar with the Lord. This is a verse we should know, and even maybe memorize. At least all of us who struggle with prayer or ever harbor doubts about faith, which I'm guessing is many of us, because this verse can be an inspiration for us. Think about it. This guy, Samuel, is one of the greatest prophets who ever lived, who chose and anointed David as king, who shaped the history of Israel. And Samuel was not familiar with the Lord. At this point in his story, Samuel is struggling with prayer. That's what's going on in this story. And in the process, he's missing out on what God has to say to him. In other words, he's just like us. At least, that's where he begins. He has to grow in his knowledge of God. He has to learn to listen to the Lord. When we hear about people who are close to God, people who are obviously people to prayer, we sometimes assume they were always like that. They're just like that, and we'll never be like that. But whoever they are, and whatever their depth of faith or power of prayer, their relationship with God developed over time. And that development began sooner or later in life when it became clear to them that God wasn't just a distant deity, but it was possible God could be a personal friend. Samuel had not yet learned to listen to the Lord, even though he was working for the church. That happens all the time. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he called out to Samuel, "Go to sleep. And if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Now Eli gets what's going on and instructs Samuel accordingly. When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Once Samuel recognizes the presence and person of God, he can receive the message that God has for him. And the message that God has for him is about what's going to happen to the nation in the future and the part Samuel will play as a leader of the nation and a prophet for the people. In other words, God is giving Samuel direction for life. He's setting his priorities. And look what happened. Later on in the story, we learn Samuel grew up and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. He's successful. He's effective. The Lord is with him because together they set his priorities. Because Samuel was willing to pray the prayer, "Speak, your servant is listening." This is another verse we would do well to know and even memorize, because this is the posture that we want before God. We want to be listening to him all the time, but especially as we set our priorities. Think about it. That's exactly what's going on in today's gospel reading. Jesus calls the first apostles, and what's he asking them to do? To reset their priorities as they step into a relationship with him, to reset their priorities. There's so much to consider when it comes to priorities, your physical, emotional, mental health, faith, finances, work life, home life, and all your relationships too. And God doesn't want you to face those challenges all alone. He created you with friendship for Him and intends for an ongoing conversation, speaking and being spoken to, listening for the voice of God. Because the voice of God is power and purpose. The voice of God is healing and hope. The voice of God is wisdom and understanding. The voice of God is the voice of love. None of us want to be beginners when it comes to prayer. But let's face it, most of us are. Or we're currently struggling to begin again when it comes to prayer. And that's okay, because it's a process. It's a lifelong process. And Samuel's prayer can become a lifetime prayer for us. Speak, for your servant is listening. I think part of the problem people have in hearing from God in prayer is that they just don't practice enough. They don't make a big enough investment. And then when some issue or crisis comes along and they turn urgently to prayer, it doesn't work for them. Of course it doesn't work for them. And I get it. I've done it too. I've been there. But just as you wouldn't expect to pick up a musical instrument and be able to play it right away, or go to a foreign country and speak the language fluently, or do anything challenging without practice, you will not hear from God without practice and investment. So let me just help you out a little bit when it comes to practice this week. We're offering online worksheets. You can find them on our website to help with the homework for this series. Last week, our worksheet was all about simply setting your priorities. This week is a little different. This week, we're encouraging you to choose a scripture verse for each of your priorities, a verse that speaks to that priority. It's an interesting exercise and one perhaps that you've never undertaken before, so you might enjoy it. And don't worry, we're providing dozens of potential verses to make it easy for you. Take 20 or 30 minutes in your quiet time this week to write down the verses that inspire you when it comes to your priorities. And before you begin, don't forget to pray, speak, for your servant is listening.